We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now. From Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
Dave Hunziker with John Holcomb, and we are courtside at Galagaraiba Arena following the Cowboys' win over South Carolina as we bring you the Cowboy Insider podcast. So Oklahoma State doesn't play now for a week, John, and the timing of it, I think, is pretty good.
I agree, Dave. You got some momentum. You got some positive feeling. You made it through a tough stretch, and you were able to play a close game and find a way to win, and find a way to make winning plays. Things that you can carry with you moving forward.
Now the gauntlet of February begins for Oklahoma State, and to illustrate that point, Kansas State will be the next opponent. That's coming up February 2nd, next Saturday. So you still have two with Kansas State. Two with Kansas, two with Texas Tech, two with TCU. You have to go on the road to Texas, have to go on the road to Baylor. So there's a lot to be dealt with in February. But given the Cowboys' limited numbers, you can't get too caught up, nor would you anyway, in what the entire month looks like. You just peck away one at a time.
Sure you do. But you know what? These guys are about as tightly knit as you can be, and a lot of that's because the numbers that dwindle and you realize the importance, the accountability that's even heightened even more than if you have a full roster. Even without Trey Reeves now, kind of an emotional, spiritual kind of leader there with a stress fracture in his foot. But, here's one thing that comes out of being tightly knit. One is you can play with a little more freedom offensively because you're not worried about missing a shot.
Yeah.
And on the defensive end, what we saw against South Carolina, one of the things that we saw, all of the times they changed zones or zone to man, and then you're different zone defense, 1-3-1, the 2-3, the communication was even better because there's that heightened sense of accountability. I think that's part of it. I mean, you realize, look, I have to do these things. It's not – I mean, yeah, you should always feel that way, but the fact is, human nature, if sometimes guys just don't do it, well, now you're down to the numbers, and nobody wants to fail, so you end up doing those things more readily.
So if Oklahoma State's going to surprise and have a better February than anyone would expect, what has to happen?
They got to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah, that's big.
And that was such a key because you look up with a minute 28 to go in the game against South Carolina and play stopped because Yorin picked up his third foul. He played, what, 37, 38 and a half minutes with only two fouls. He's got to be able to do that because he gives you a dimension that is hard for other teams to account for because of his quickness and athleticism, and he can bounce all over the place. So it's not that you – I mean, he didn't play, actually, 38 and a half minutes. He came out some. But the point is it that late in the game and he was out of foul trouble. The other thing is they've got to maintain the willingness to try to break a defender down and get in the lane. We saw what happened. Lindy Waters made the game – clinching pretty much drive and shot over his 6'6 defender because he can do that. But instead of just settling for threes, you're going to have opportunities to shoot threes, and this is still a predominantly three-point shooting team.
Right.
That's who you are. But you have to be willing to continue to get better at driving it and trying to score off the bounce or create off the bounce.
One of the hidden benefits, I think, of the South Carolina game is, for example, Thomas DeZagua ends up with 19 points, matching a career high. There's just enough lack of familiarity personnel-wise that some of the things you were able to do in the non-conference that you can't do against conference foes because they know you so well, you can get away with and you can rebuild some confidence maybe you've lost in the grind of league play. I thought some of that went on, didn't you?
Yes, I do. I do. And you know, I mean, you could say the same thing, the confidence gained by Yorin-A staying out of foul trouble.
Absolutely.
You know, so you get to play a little bit more, and you get to play through your mistakes. Because remember, one sequence late in the game, he had a block shot, grabbed a rebound, and then turns to throw an outlet pass and throws it right to South Carolina guy, Brian, who tries to drive on him, and then Yor blocks a shot, and it scramble goes out of bounds. He's just all over the map, but he could play through that because he knows he's not coming out.
Yeah, and one of the challenges now for Coach Boynton, a big challenge is not only managing the minutes of the players in games, but, you know, how do you structure practice? Obviously, you have to cut back. You get into February, and a team under regular circumstances is starting to feel it. That's the big challenge for him now. How much do you practice? How long do we go hard? When do we go hard? Lots and lots of decisions that have to be made that usually you wouldn't be dealing with to this extent.
Well, you know, if you get even the best teams will get to a point in February where your coaches are looking around going, all right, what do we need to do to stay as fresh as possible? Now, what does that look like? It depends on the team. But, you know, you may have heard Coach Boynton in our post game from the South Carolina game talking about with this week off, comes at a really good time from this standpoint. Now you get to sit back. You've got three games worth of the limited roster, right?
Yeah.
So you got three games worth of data. You see what works. You see what's worked, what hasn't worked, what you think may work, but you also get a chance. He said they may take 2 days off, maybe.
Yeah, and that's common in these breaks when you have a week between games. And thankfully, the conference schedule changed this year. Because the last couple of years, when the SEC Big 12 Challenge was moved to January, the bye went away. So it was games all of January, games all of February, games into March with no bye. Now the bye is back, and I think everybody is excited about that. So I'm putting you on the spot. Who do you think will win the Big 12?
As much of a grind as it is, Dave, I think you kind of have to favor teams that don't go through long stretches struggling to score.
Yep.
I think because in the end, you got to score more points than the other team. So that for that reason.
I know where you're going.
First off, you got to say Kansas, even though they don't have a consistent rim protector like they've had in the past. With Azubuike being out, that hurts them. Iowa State can score from a lot of different places. Kansas State can score from a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I don't know, as good as Texas Tech has been defensively, I don't know that they can score easily enough in big games.
And I'm a little concerned about K-State that way, too.
Yeah,
they've struggled more on offense than I would have thought.
I would say Kansas and Iowa State would be the two that I would pick.
That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. I feel the same way. It'll be interesting, and it'll be like last year where the thing got crazy late in the year. Injuries play such a key role in it. Last year, let's be honest, if Keenan Evans doesn't get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Around February 18th, 19th, right before they came to Stillwater. If he doesn't get hurt, no offense to Kansas, but Tech was going to win the league. They had Kansas at home. They probably would have won here with a healthy Keenan Evans. No offense to our team, but even without Evans playing many minutes, they would have had a decent chance to win. By no means a guarantee. Cowboys played well, but I think Tech would have won it. So you got to keep an eye on that. And some teams like Kansas State have already endured a major injury. Dean Wade missing significant time, but they've been different since he's been back.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, they're coming off a loss against Texas A&M down at College Station, which, you know, maybe they're built for the grind. You can say that. But what's going to happen when tight games against the best teams in the league take place down the stretch? What decisions do you make from the bench that allow you to have success or not?
Well, you know, the one area I would say, just guessing, I don't really feel like it's a guess, but the experience factor is K-State.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an old team. A lot of names that you've watched for a while, whether it's Kamau Stokes, Dean Wade, Barry Brown. I mean, those are guys with a ton of experience. Xavier Sneed, they've been around a while.
Yes, they have. I don't know that I'm ready to put them in there, though, because I just think, you know, look, Iowa State's played better defense, but they haven't been a consistent defensive inside presence. So, I don't know, man. Look, are you crazy if you don't say Kansas?
Probably, yes. Probably, yes.
Yeah.
I'd say you're right. Well, we'll be on the air on Saturday as the Cowboys take on Kansas State. Third and final game in the rare three-game homestand during the January-February months. For John Holcomb, I'm Dave Hunziker. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.